The holidays are almost here, and if you still have names on your list, don't panic. Uncommon Goods makes holiday shopping stress-free and joyful with thousands of one-of-a-kind gifts that you can't find anywhere else. You'll discover presents that feel meaningful and personal, never rushed or last minute. Uncommon Goods looks for products that are high quality, unique, and often handmade or made in the U.S. Many are crafted by independent artists and small businesses, so every gift feels special and thoughtfully chosen. I've actually ordered from Uncommon Goods several times over the years. We found this gift for my sister-in-law, actually. It harkened back to something I got to do as a kid. It was this mystery. You get this box set, and it has a mystery within it, and then you get to the final image of the mystery, and sometimes it's the crime scene or something, and what it is then a jigsaw puzzle, and you make the puzzle and then you look at the image and it should have enough information in the image for you to solve the mystery. We just thought it was a great gift. It was fun and cozy and the perfect activity for a cold winter afternoon, and we found it at Uncommon Goods. The thing is that Uncommon Goods has something for everyone, from moms and dads to kids and teens, from book lovers and sports fans to foodies, mixologists, and gardeners. You'll find unforgettable gifts that are anything but ordinary. And like I said, when you shop at Uncommon Goods, you're supporting artists and small independent businesses. Every purchase is a chance to choose something remarkable and feel good about where your money goes. And with every purchase you make at Uncommon Goods, they give back $1 to a nonprofit partner of your choice. So far, they've donated more than $3.1 million to date. So don't wait. Make this holiday the year you give something truly unforgettable. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/canon. That's uncommongoods.com/canon, C-A-N-N-O-N, for 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods. We're all out of the ordinary.
You are listening to the Glass Cannon Network, the premier source for role-playing game entertainment.
Podcasts. We're a bunch of good time pals. Yuck it up, bust some chops, and make actual play podcasts of your favorite tabletop role-playing games. And that game du jour is Shadow Dark.
The Shadow Dark RPG.
If you enjoy what you're listening to, and hell, even if you don't, subscribe to this YouTube channel if you're watching it, youtube.com/theglasscannon. If you're listening at home, go open up your browser, go on your little smartphone, youtube.com/theglasscannon. Hit subscribe, means so much to us. I want you to download and review this show on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Those are the two big ones for us. We have a subscription service, tons of exclusive content, ad-free versions of all of our shows, including the Glass Cannon podcast. Just go to jointhenache.com. And I always forget the fourth one. Follow us on Instagram at the Glass Cannon Network.
There you go.
Boom.
I forgot the fourth one too, but you remembered it.
Yeah.
Nice work.
That's like...
caught it there right at the end.
We have a Facebook. We have a TikTok. We got an X. We got all that stuff. I don't know. Maybe a Snapchat. Instagram. We're just focusing on one.
Message us on Signal.
Yes.
Yeah.
Send us an overseas text on WhatsApp.
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 I haven't seen you guys in a few days.
It's been a minute.
It's been a minute.
It's been a minute.
How are things?
We've been... They're okay.
Just barely holding it together.
Squeezing.
Squeezing caps. Like, what are you so stressed about?
How was...
Small talk.
Troy, you missed it this morning. I was trying to talk to Joe and Skid.
Oh my God.
And I, you know, when
it
you,
was concerning,
you know, when you hit like a sentence stumble and you just can't get past it and you start to,
you
start
try
to
a
get
second
concerned,
time, then a third time and you still can't say the words.
And then you start to get worried because you're like, I can't talk. I'm just saying more sounds. So I was doing that earlier and I was just like, bit a bit, bit. And Skid and Joe were like,
and like I stopped what I was doing, and like, and Skid was like, "Are you okay?" And she just put her, she was on her knees building something, and she just put her head down and like breathed real deep, and then just started punching her fist into the ground. I was like, "Uh-oh!"
I knew it was gonna be one of those days.
It looked really bad.
I'll tell you, everybody laughs at those myriad videos that exist of newscasters having strokes on air. Yeah. It's like, all right, I'm just reporting here from the street. Apple banana. But that's real.
Wait, that, like, it is.
Having actual strokes.
You haven't seen this? I mean, it's an epidemic.
I've seen newscasters. I've seen videos of people like going into word salad, but they're not. They're fine. They're just like,
this isn't aphasia. It's like stroke, because usually they just like tumble off screen at the end, Wendy Williams style. Have you seen the Wendy Williams one?
No.
It's very sad to watch.
Did she also have a stroke?
She had a situation, but she went on air and she was like, and just fell out of her chair.
So scary.
But the newscasters, there's so many of them where they just start speaking and they're not making any sense. And it usually ends up with them.
Like a mini
stroke. Not funny, but they fall at the end.
Do you ever have those moments in your life where you're talking? I often find it's usually to a stranger or a customer service interaction where I'm like, am I experiencing aphasia right now? Am I speaking actual?
Am I making any sense?
Am I speaking? I think I'm saying words that are sentences. Am I actually like?
Yes.
I have it all the time.
Yes.
Well, what's hard is like we're live a lot, and even though this show is edited, it's we have to be very precise in the way that we speak, and so there's this like this sort of editor that, do you feel this, like an editor that's sitting on your shoulder or like somewhere in your brain, especially when we're live in front of an audience, just like, please make sure you get this word, like you're thinking what you're going to say before you say it, but it's not like minutes before, you're thinking what you're going to say as you're saying it and making sure it comes out.
It's the control room. Yeah. And they're like, please God, get this right. Please God, get this right.
Especially if you're trying
camera two.
If you're trying to be funny, like it doesn't matter how funny the bit is. If you screw up,
if you fuck it, you know that if you stumble on one key word, it'll ruin everything. Right. No one will laugh.
That could be hilarious.
Well, they'll laugh at you because you fucked it up.
You loser.
Do you guys remember pre-science?
Everyone hates you.
Do you remember when I said pre-science?
Oh, yeah.
I was reading and trying in the moment.
Well, that's different.
This is a dangerous place to mess up.
Oh, yeah.
Well, there's also the ones where I don't remember stuttering on something, but then, like, there's one joke. There's a bit. It's the bit about your people. Like, what do your people do for Christmas?
Oh, yeah.
You put in the highlight reel for the live shows.
Oh, yeah.
I stutter on I just full on start the sentence and stop and go again. Like, and I have, I remember sitting there and I do not remember doing that.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, maybe you're having
this. Oh, dear.
You paused.
Apple banana.
They always say names of fruit.
Yeah.
As they go out.
It's like smelling toast. You say names of fruit.
Yeah, you say names of fruit.
I had a feud with a local weatherman back in Denver.
That seems like something you'd do.
Yeah.
Seems like it's up for it.
Man, just really angry at that guy. Larry Green, if you're fucking watching.
Did he get the weather wrong and it really ruined your day?
No, he was a hero of mine as a kid. I remember, because I tried out to be like the kid caster at Channel 4, like in Colorado. And, you know, my mom's like, she dutifully dragged me down there. And it's just like, man, I hope he doesn't get this. and her dream came true because I didn't. But
you meet your hero. And...
Yeah. And he was like all unshaved. And it was just like, oh my God, it's Larry Green from television. And he's just like, okay, everybody stand here. And it was just like, man, that was the coolest thing in the world. And then years later, I saw him in a local restaurant. Like I was an adult. I saw him in Racine's, like a really good restaurant that's not there anymore. And he's sitting there reading a newspaper. And I just look over and I was like, oh, Larry Green. And he like, he put down his paper. I didn't even say anything.
He had his dick out?
No. Maybe. I don't know. But he put down his newspaper and he like glared at me like this. And I was like, I didn't fucking do or say anything. All I did was look at him and think, huh, that's Larry Green. And it just, it brought to mind like how these like local newscasters, they have the little kingdoms, they little fiefdoms. They're the most famous person in the world, this little tiny metropolitan area. And outside of it, no one has any fucking idea who they are. And I was just like, so you're not fucking important anywhere other than like this restaurant, Larry Green. You can't look at me like that. I'm doing a wrestling thing now.
Right.
Like, yeah. Next Friday.
Started cutting a promo on Larry Green.
Madison Square Garden, I'm gonna take my revenge on you, Larry Green.
Wait a minute. So this is all because he looked at you over a newspaper?
Fuck that guy.
It was the way he looked.
Larry Green? You think you can look at me like that? You look at your mother like that?
We need like music behind this now in a lower third.
Get worked up again.
You need to finish it with a weather pun.
Is he alive?
You need to
like, I don't know.
And the storm's coming for you, weatherman.
There's a cold front. The cold front of revenge coming to you from the east, Larry Green, from New York City. And it's going to come down. It's going to bury you into a snowdrift of vengeance.
Yeah.
Yeah. Need an editor, but we got the point.
That's off the cuff.
You know what's
off the cuff? And I didn't stutter either. I barely stuttered.
But you're right, though. It's with local news people, but especially weather, like the weather.
Weather people have an outsized importance, self-importance.
It's like they're a prophet, right? Because they kind of communicate with God about what the weather is
going to be. They're these like oracles about like, they've always held that position in our societies. Yeah. Yeah. Going back to like Paleolithic, it's just like, oh yes, the sun will rise in this day. It's like at this time, and it's just like, oh wow, okay. So they're sort of, they've always been worshipped in a way.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's time to bring them down a peg.
Yeah, it's like us at a tabletop gaming convention.
He didn't even have
outside of that.
No, exactly,
shit.
Exactly. Like I know exactly how it is. So like I would never glare at a stranger like at fucking Racine's.
Right.
Remind me to never look at Skid.
No, don't look at him.
Don't look at him the wrong way.
No, he didn't even have a fun weatherman name. Like Stormy Rotman was the guy on Channel 9. It's a fun weatherman. He's at Larry Green. It's not even a fucking name.
Hurricane Schwartz was mine.
Oh.
Oh yeah.
Wait,
Hurricane
really?
Schwartz? Hurricane Schwartz. Local weatherman, Philly.
Oh,
I hope someone gave him that nickname and he didn't give it to himself.
I like to think he gave it to himself.
His birth name.
His parents were like, "You, my boy, are destined to forecast the weather."
Hurricane Schwartz. We'll be right back.
What's up, Nash? Very psyched about this week's sponsor for the app. Want to thank Crit Heads Gaming for sponsoring us. Crit Heads Gaming is a U.S. veteran-owned gaming company that specializes in classical gaming adventure module writing. And the one we're talking about today can be played, you guessed it, with Shadow Dark. Old wounds fester as the elves of Othera conduct a shadow war to reclaim land and honor lost in a world war 150 years ago. This shadow war threatens to start an entire new world war. And the only thing in the way is a party of heroes. This adventure sounds so freaking cool. It's two books long. The setting is kind of like steampunk meets sword and sorcery. And this book has everything you need to just get in and start playing. You can play it in Shadow Dark, of course, 100%. But it can also be played with Castles and Crusades. And there is a system agnostic version that uses an intuitive 1 to 10 scale, with 5 being the average, so that it's easy to play in any TTRPG system, even non-D20 systems. So Crit Heads is available exclusively on DriveThruRPG. Just search Crit Heads Gaming at DriveThruRPG.com. Steal yourself for the cataclysm and pick up Othera Cataclysm today.
Ready to launch your business? Get started with the commerce platform made for entrepreneurs. Shopify is specially designed to help you start, run, and grow your business with easy, customizable themes that let you build your brand, marketing tools that get your products out there, integrated shipping solutions that actually save you time. From startups to scale-ups, online, in person, and on the go, Shopify is made for entrepreneurs like you.
Sign up for your $1 a month trial at shopify.com/setup.
From the darkest corners of our imagination comes a game show that's more ridiculous than terrifying. Welcome to Tickled to Death, I'm your host, Roz Hernandez, and I'll be guiding guests through the creepy questions and chaotic games, all to win the ultimate title of Horror Movie Champion. Listen to Tickled to Death wherever you get your podcasts, and hit follow unless you want the show to follow you.
Hey, welcome back. I want to thank our sponsors for our Shadow Dark campaign, Foundry Virtual Tabletop, our virtual tabletop of choice. Head to foundryvtt.com today. Sign your ass up. And of course, Norse Foundry for all your random number generating needs.
Foundry of the Norse.
Natty 2. Natty 2.
Natural 20.
Natural 1.
11.
Boom.
You know,
lucky 13. Zony.
When a 2 comes up and it's facing you, do you know what the saddest part of it is? You can see the 20. And that's true of all that. When the 2 comes up and it's facing
the 20
you,
is sort of at the side.
It's looking at you like,
I was almost there.
Almost. You
think some people read their dice as like, whatever number's facing me, that's the number I say.
That's right.
That would be cool.
Whoa.
Whichever one is facing me.
That wouldn't be complicated
at
all.
You could do that. You could totally.
You could.
Before we cut off in Norse Foundry, I want to let everybody know. I want to let everybody know. Okay. Naish, it's the holidays. I think this is airing December 4th.
Do, do, skip, dip, bobbity, boo.
Skip, dip, dobbity, gee. Norse Foundry. Buy gifts for yourself or loved ones.
Or us.
We have a special code.
Yeah, buy
GCP20. It's 20% off of everything in the store. Basically everything on Norse Foundry. And it's from today, December 4th, until December 18th.
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
It's Christmas lighting behind us.
Yeah,
that's a 14.
Christmas purple.
That's a Christmas 14.
20% off is no joke.
December 14th, good. The deal will still be active.
Yeah.
There is Natural 19.
There is a hair salon in my town that every Christmas, they have a huge tree outside the hair salon. It's like right downtown, and they have purple lights for Christmas, which isn't very Christmassy. However, having lived there now for 5-6 years, it signifies to me and the children and my wife, like, oh, Christmas. And so the other day, you guys are watching this now. It's already, I'm already a month and a half in to celebrating at this point by the time you're watching this. But for us, it's Halloween week. So even though I've started to like dip my toe in the Christmas well, they're a month at least away. However, we drove by the other day and they're putting up the purple lights. It's just, it just means it's coming. Anyways, you guys are already there.
Let it holiday snow. Season.
Holiday season.
Scooby-Doo.
Skid, I saw you looking at a book when I came in and I did not inquire as to what that book was. And then you put it down and holy moly, is that an original?
Yeah, this is... this is the first printing. Actually, this is not my original copy. I don't know where or when I got this, but this is, it's an old AD&D first edition monster manual.
Wow.
And I wanted to bring some, actually, and I lost my monster manual 2, which my grandfather bought for me years ago. I don't know what happened to it, but I just ordered a replacement. I snuck in at the last possible second on an eBay bidding
thing. eBay snipe. It's the only way.
I sniped it. It was funny. I was Googling it and it was just like, oh, there's this auction going on. It was like 20 seconds. I was like, oh, fuck. And I got it. So,
nice.
But yeah, but I wanted to bring in like some of these old, so especially the monster books, just as the, because honestly, like Shadow Dark has more in common with like the Beckme, the basic expert kind of system of D&D than the advanced D&D. But I always loved this stuff, especially. And like, obviously like so much of the inspiration.
Flip to a random page.
Yeah.
Give
Doppelganger.
Us a
here we go.
Nice.
Oh. Yes, we're in the D's. Oh, the Displacer Beast, classic Dungeons and Dragons
love
monster.
The Displacer Beast.
What's a Displacer Beast?
Displacer Beast.
What's a Displacer Beast?
I mean, they're these six-legged panthers that have tentacles coming out of their shoulders.
And they can, like, switch places.
And there's, like, two of them.
Right.
Like,
they have permanent displacement.
Displacement.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
Always a 50% missed chance.
It's a great one in Baldur's Gate 3. Did you get that far?
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Oh, like, no, wait. Yes. Yes, I do remember that.
Yeah, and if you get past it, there's, like, 800 other monsters behind you. You're like, I just dealt with a displacer beast.
So it's funny.
Oh, that's awesome.
I was...
Yeah, they're cool.
The AD&D campaign that I was playing with Dell back in 1999, my first level character ran into a displacer beast, my cavalier, and with my first blow, I crit it, I made the displacement roll, and then I got two more natural 20s in succession, and I killed it instantly.
Oh,
was that the rule? Or was that
that
house
was
rule?
That was Dell's house rule.
That was
Dell's house rule.
Natural 20s.
Wow.
Never forget it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Isn't that funny? You guys want some caps?
Yeah, hell yeah, I want caps.
Cap.
I feel like
cap,
we're going to need him. It's about to get spicy.
Yeah, we're all going to die in this episode, right?
I'll give this one to you. That's a Roger Cumstone.
Oh, thank you.
I got a chicken poon.
My favorite guy. I miss him every day.
Oh,
it's old.
When you wake up every morning, is your first thought about Roger Cumstone?
Yeah, and I wake up like this. No! And then I go, oh, thank God he's not real.
It's all too real. Who wants to do the recap this week? Matthew, what happened in last week's episode?
In last week's episode, we heard about a mushroom party.
Go on.
We heard about a party. We ran into some fae, and we were very deferential, but they told us about them. This was last week. That was two weeks ago.
Anyway,
all right. Well, they also told us about this. They'd heard whimpering, the same fae.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounded like human whimpering. We decided to check that out. So we headed to the west, and we did, in fact, hear some whimpering. And then we decided to take a break.
Against my wishes. Let the record show.
In the middle of the night, Sydney's character.
Saint.
Wait. We are missing something important, though, before this happened.
What?
The orcs happened.
Oh, that was last episode?
Yeah, before this. So
we ran into a party of ill-tempered orcs.
They were mad.
They were bullies.
Who threatened, who were really...
Classic orcs. Yeah.
Who were rather disparaging...
Yeah.
And then threatened to eat us.
Yeah. They called you three specifically food.
Meat?
Just meat. Walking meat.
And they talked down for you for fraternizing.
Right. Yeah. I am, as a half-orc, I'm not a member of a clan. I am an embarrassment.
Right.
I am, yeah.
You work for a king.
Right.
So Allison put them to sleep and we slit their throats.
Yeah.
Right.
It was brutal.
And then in the middle of the night, we heard that we found a cave where we heard the whimpering coming from. And we decided to take a rest. And not go in and pursue these. We'll get to that. But anyway, in the middle of the night, Saint discovered a rat warren that had some treasure in it, and we put a bunch of those rats to sleep and then killed them all and stole their treasure, which was our first treasure.
Yeah.
Hey, let's not brush over too quickly that was not coup de grace across the board. Yeah. Every one of those rats woke up. We had to fight every rat, and then two fleed.
Yeah.
Let me return to the quest log.
Fled.
Sorry. Fled.
Then you fought two fleas.
Then we fought two fleas.
Giant fleas.
They were harder to kill.
Two fleas.
I've added a quest to the quest log. The Rats of Incest.
Nice.
The last two rats in the gloaming, a brother and sister, fleed from combat. Fled. We need to find out if they committed incest to keep the species alive. It's just on the quest list.
The Rats of Incest.
The Rats of Incest.
I forgot we specifically said that they would start a new population.
Yeah. So we'll see if that comes back.
Yes. So
and two pearls. We got two pearls.
Yes. Two pearls.
Not just any pearls.
Lustrous.
So then we went back to sleep. Ellison, for one, did not make his constitution check, so he is running a little ragged.
Yep.
And then we ventured into the cave, and eventually we came to a largish room where we found two children in a cage. And then we left. We went out on that.
And then we saw you next week. And that's now.
In that cave of whimpering, there were all of these bones arranged in strange spiral patterns.
And like makeshift small shrines on the ground that we saw.
Yeah.
It's funny that you called it the Cave of Whimpering, because that's the name of the quest.
That's why I called it
the quest log.
Oh, yeah.
The Cave of Whimpering.
You know, it's funny. Long before we had announced that we were doing Shadow Dark, probably before I even brought it to you guys, and I was kind of kicking around what I wanted to do next. I started following Mike Merles on social media. He was the creative director for D&D 5e.
Dungeons & Dragons, yeah.
And on X. It sounded like he had a lunch game or something every day, and he would just tweet out like what his session was like, and they always sounded so crazy and so fun. And I was like, how can that happen? And now hearing you recount just the last couple of weeks, it sounds equally crazy. Yeah. Then there was a warren of rats, and then were these orcs that were really bullied. We put them to sleep. And then
a brother
throats.
And sister rat decided they had to like run away and fuck.
Anytime you compress a session like that into like the format of a tweet, it will sound insane.
It will sound
particularly insane. Yeah.
Fought 90 half orcs. Okay, so let's pick up right there at the Cave of Whimpering.
Cave of Whimpering.
You have left the village of Marin's Hold. Sydney is just forcing herself to vomit.
I think she's throwing up.
Sydney, please.
She's hiding.
I'm blowing my nose.
Powdering my nose.
It's a very bad time of year for allergies, seasonal allergies.
I'm dying.
Yeah.
We already had our first frost. It should kill whatever is making you.
No, it depends. There's spring allergies.
Is that how that works?
There's spring allergies. There's autumn allergies.
My whole childhood, I was allergic. I had like seasonal allergies in the fall from ragweed. And then when the first frost came, it killed the ragweed. I'd walk outside. It was like a faucet. And then I could breathe again. But your allergies change because now I don't
have
that.
That's true. Can someone get me a napkin, Francis?
I have more napkins here.
Just Francis, give her your shirt.
I'm gonna keep. I'm gonna have to keep blowing my nose. Sorry, I'm so. I'm
oh,
so,
so many napkins.
Don't
from
touch.
Thank you, Skid. Never mind, Francis. Thank you.
Those are fresh.
Those are fresh.
Okay, I'm ready.
All right, Cave of Whimpering. You come in here, or you left the village of Marin's Hold trying to find this missing merchant and her three guards. And so you've been going up the path looking for any trail of these four people. And it's not until you meet these Fey. That you think, okay, well, we did hear some strange noises coming from a cave. This is like the closest thing you have to a lead. You passed by the ruins of a castle at one point. You were like, let's put a pin in that. You've seen burnt bodies of people that you think were the people that were forcibly escorted out of Marin's Hold in the middle of the night. But you haven't seen any trace of anything. So you come to this cave, stake it out for the night. You go in, spiral bones and two children.
We didn't see any, there's no visible monster in this room, right? All we see is the cage.
All we see is the cage.
We also...
makeshift cage.
We staked out. I mean, we watched the cave overnight because we took shifts. Didn't see anybody come or go, according to what Troy said.
Right.
And they're just like shivering in the light of your torch. Please don't hurt us. Please.
So I, with my outsized wisdom, Pharaoh definitely feels like there's something off. Like, obviously, something's not right, but like there's about this situation. I'm not taking this at face value.
Yeah.
Like, they've been making this like whimpering noise like constantly for days now.
Yeah.
So.
Maybe even longer.
We don't know. So.
This gotta help them.
Right.
We have to.
And Ellison will put his hand on
he starts
on
to, like,
Morix,
walk up to, like, the cage. What?
And Saint just quietly...
may not be what it seems.
Saint also quietly just looks at the cage and just says, oh, shit.
And Ellison will kind of nod encouragingly to Pharaoh, maybe to speak to them to see if we can...
Hello. What are your names?
I'm Marin. This is my brother Barnaby.
Marin, like Marin's Hold.
Maybe. I don't know what that is.
I think this is who they named that the town after.
This girl, you think, is who they named the town after?
Right. How old are you?
I'm 11.
How old is the town?
How long have you been in this cage?
A couple of nights. Are you here to save us?
Yes, of course we're here to save.
How do we know that this isn't a trap?
We were taken. We are from a town called Wardenwood. A few nights ago, a creature came into our house at night and stole us away.
What creature?
I don't know. It was covered in fur, but it walked on two legs, and it ran through the night with us under its arms and brought us here to this cave. And
just the two of you?
Locked us away, yes.
Saint whispers to Pharaoh, Wardenwood is to the west where the bandits were.
Is the creature here now?
No. We haven't seen it. It spoke to us, but we didn't understand. A woman comes, though. Every day, a woman comes and brings us food. But we have not seen
a human creature. Woman.
Yes.
What does she look like? How old is she?
My mother's age, maybe younger. She's pretty and she seems nice, but she won't let us out. She brings us food. Says,
and there's food in there?
Yeah, there's like little scraps of food.
I'm going to look over at look over at Pharaoh. Just sort of, this is, I don't think it's a trick. I think they need our help.
I know, all I want to do is roll a sense motive.
I know, you can't do it. You can't do it.
They just have to trust Troy's acting.
Get out of here with that shit.
All right. So is it a cage or is it like a hole in the wall that has bars?
It's like sticks have been knotted together and tied with twine to make, a makeshift cage.
So we could easily kind of hack it down.
Oh, yeah. The kids are not strong enough and the bars have been placed close enough together that they can't pry through. But it seems like they're petrified.
All right. Warwick. Sane, let him out.
Hold on. Sane says, is there anywhere here where we could hide out of sight? Or is it like an entirely open space with just this cage?
Also, does this cavern network continue past this cage where we are? Or is this like a cul-de-sac?
This is the end of the cave. It looks like it goes on for another 5-6 feet and just kind of comes to a point.
All right. Ends. So it's not like a cave system. It's just...
I want to search for any kind of hidden door, though, or like a passageway or something. Maybe there's like a hole in the wall down low, something disguised, just to make sure there's not we're not going to get jumped.
Yeah, you don't see anything at first glance. You put your torches on the walls. There also doesn't look to be a great place to hide.
We don't have a torch.
Yeah, let's talk about light. We have a light spell, right?
The light spell.
I'm sorry, light
spell. And that's it right now, just one light spell.
I think we should have like something like 40 minutes left on this torch.
Yeah.
On the spell.
We just came in.
We got to find a way to track this.
Yeah.
We end an episode.
Oh, yeah.
The torch has 45 minutes left. Can you guys see the light tracker on Foundry? It says Saint has a torch, which we didn't.
Instead of the light spell, yep.
Light spell that has 44 minutes. You know what's so cool is that carried over from last session.
Oh,
nice.
That's cool. Yeah, so game paused and awesome.
Cool.
Nice. Neat.
Thanks, Foundry.
So I'm casting like my crossbow with the light spell on it, like around the walls as you're like searching.
Yeah.
I think Saint's thought was to hide. He'll say it out loud. Well, I was thinking if we wait, we could see who this woman is.
We could do that from outside the cave. We could hide in the rat warren even and just wait until.
But we haven't seen anyone come or go. It's already been.
I'm going to walk up to the kids.
Yeah. While we're discussing.
I walk up to the cage and I say, when was the last time that you ate? And he starts like looking around for a latch or a mechanism, or if it's easy to just rip apart.
It's so dark in here. We lost track of time. But
are you hungry
she
now?
Came yesterday. Yes, yes. We tried not to eat the food. My brother said that this woman maybe couldn't be trusted and meant to hurt us. But we just got too hungry, and so we had to. She said that. She can't let us out until we're ready, and that she's our mother now.
Right, this is very specific. I think you should try to let him out.
All right, I'm going to sheathe my sword and try to rip it open.
I'd say between the four of you, if you know.
I need some help here. Give me a hand.
But you're so strong. What hope have I to help?
Stand back. Barnaby. Barnaby.
Yes.
Are you all right?
Yes, sorry. It hit me in the face with a twig.
opening. Just want to make sure the other one spoke, too.
Yeah.
All right, well, rip
who's,
the cage
who's
open.
Older?
Marin looks older.
Okay.
11 and
this woman,
nine.
What did she tell you to call her? Just mother? Did she ever use another name?
No, she just said mother. She says that she's her mother. Did she say her name? No, I don't think so. I don't know. I just want to go home to my real mother.
Yeah. Well, we're going to take you there. And he rips it open and lets the kids out.
You let the kids out, and the first thing you notice is that they both have a long scratch on their arm from like the crook of their elbow down to their wrist.
The fuck is that?
Are they fucking werewolves?
I think Saint even sees it and goes, what is that?
The creature did this to us when it put us in the cage, and that's the last we saw of it. It did that, and we thought that it was just going to eat us, but
did it with what?
It's
claw.
It's claws. Yes.
Can I roll an intelligence check to see if I recognize that?
Yeah.
Sydney's thinking, why tonight's the full moon?
Natural 19.
Ooh.
For 22.
If this was some sort of werebeast, then you would think, yeah, it's trying to give this curse
if
to
it's
the
a,
children.
And the woman that's feeding them is the beast.
Yeah.
And but, she's making them, she's calling herself mother. She's creating a new brood. Oh,
Jesus.
I don't want to.
So hungry.
Travel with, around with where, things that might.
Where are we in the phases of the moon right
it's
now?
It's a full moon tonight.
It's a full moon tonight.
No, tonight is the party.
Tonight, yeah, because you waited when you met the fairies, and they said two. I rolled.
It was a waxing. It was a waxing. It was a waxing crescent.
And the first night was the rats.
Give us, yeah.
I'm pretty sure the first night was the rats, yes. And this would be the second.
So this is first thing in the morning.
Yes.
And it's tonight. Yeah.
Yes.
Jeez. Oh, God.
Help us. Saint would like to, are we leaving the cave?
And days.
Are we leaving the cave? What are we doing? Because I want to look for tracks. Saint wants to go back outside now hearing this discussion and wants to look for tracks.
Go look for tracks.
Saint goes, I'll go look for tracks.
I have to go to the bathroom.
We all, we just, turn away.
Right, yep. Yeah, just go over there. We're leaving this cave anyway. I'm gonna start like just knocking the bones all over the place.
Okay.
That are like set in these spirals and stuff. He just starts like kicking them. Like, get the fuck out of here. This shit. It's crazy. Cold shit.
Knocking the bones over, knocking everything, and you come over to where those like shrines are. And those aren't bones. It's just like odd little. How did I describe it last week? Like
makeshift shrines, very small on the ground.
Very small on the ground. And you notice at the base of these shrines are like two small mounds.
I'll kick the mounds.
Kick the mounds.
See if there's anything buried under them.
Yeah. You kick the mounds and some of the dirt moves, but it's packed down pretty hard.
I mean, I'll keep kicking at it.
Yeah, you keep kicking at it and you realize that something was like buried in these spaces.
Take it.
I'll take like...
Wait, there's something here. Allison, come here. Look at this. There's something down under these mounds. Jesus.
We asked the kids, did you see what...
Did you see them? Buried? See her digging anything?
No, the woman? No.
Or the beast.
How big are the mounds? Roughly.
So small. Like
small.
Just it's clear like freshly something was buried here. Something was buried here.
I'll start digging.
Dig it up, yeah.
I'll take like a clavicle from like one of the bone piles and just start scooping.
Okay.
So, I'll use a pelvis.
Oh, that's good.
That's a good shovel. You start pushing this back and eventually you unearth the first mound and you just pull out like small clothing. Clothing for like a child, and then like what looks like a little plush stuffed like homespun stuffed animal. If you keep digging up the other one,
yeah,
I'm gonna hold up the yeah.
Still more like little accoutrements, like more little clothing, more like. I don't even want to call them toys because there's nothing you could really buy in a store. They're like, but they look like things that children would play with.
And are the clothes children's clothes or like baby clothes?
Children's clothes.
All right, so he's, all right, I'll at least take the homespun like doll or something and like turn it toward the kids. Just be like, is this yours? Do you know what this is?
No, no.
And you never saw her come over here?
No, no.
What could this possibly be for?
Could be that there's already a pack. So here's what Allison is thinking.
I finished going to the bathroom.
Good, then we're leaving.
Good job.
Great, now we're dealing with an 8-year-old.
Leaving.
They're going to transform. I don't want to face an adult werebeast tonight.
No.
So if I don't really want to wait for this, the mother to come back. That said, we have two small children who are going to transform into rabid, feral killing machines. Yeah,
as soon as they turn 13.
Well, Saint is looking for tracks. Saint is looking for tracks because if Ellison has mentioned werewolf.
Yeah, I can confidentially share with you that like the scars and the story seems to suggest these are were beasts of some kind.
His idea is if we can find the tracks and there is rainwater in them, we can have the children drink from the rainwater in the footprint because that is how you cure lycanthropy.
Is that true?
It's one of the ways. What? It's one of the ways.
What?
This is off the dome from Sydney. I think I'm remembering it correctly. You must drink from the footprint of the werewolf with rainwater in it. I'm going to Google.
What?
Ellison's going to Google as well.
What's the source?
I don't remember this.
Sydney's brain. Drinking rainwater out of the puddle of a werewolf print is a myth. The paw print.
Oh, look at that.
It's a lesser known method for a human to turn into a werewolf that is... Wait, oh no, is it how they turn into a werewolf?
Oh, you're still going to turn them into a werewolf.
Everyone drink from this print just to be safe.
I Googled and discovered a subreddit. It's like, can you really drink rainwater from a wolf's paw print? Like, as if it's like...
Okay, I think it's actually to turn them into a werewolf.
I think I was most shocked that you assumed that the source of this would be the same way it works in this world. But the confidence of it was really the most astounding part. So I saw Joe's eyes go back up in his head.
So,
an exorcist.
Mayhaps, hear me out.
Okay.
Mayhaps, in this world.
Yes.
It actually works the way I said.
Ah, there it is.
Well, maybe.
Could I roll an intelligence check to see if there is a way to cure lycanthropy or werebeastism?
Yeah, Saint doesn't know this. You would know this.
And... Warwick is not expecting these kids to turn into werebeasts at the full moon.
Okay. Why not? You don't believe me?
I think you have to try to stop it. Somehow. There must be a way. There must be.
Can I roll?
Yeah.
Okay. 16.
Yeah, you've never heard of any sort of over-the-counter cure for lycanthropy, but there are... I would say you've probably read texts that allude to elaborate magical rituals that could remove the curse.
The fairies could.
That's exactly what I was saying. We got to take them to the
mushroom
party.
Take them to the ritual and tell the... And the, by the blessing of...
Have them ask for a blessing.
What is her name?
Titania.
Titania. By the blessing of Titania. It said that it helped people with the curses of the forest.
Yeah.
Perhaps this is one.
I think she's all about transformations. Maybe she would have some kind of insight that could help us.
Yes.
Are you out of the cave
now? And if nothing else, they turn into werewolves. You sick them on the fairies.
Got two pet werewolves.
Right.
Ellison is confident that if we can restrain them somehow before the transformation, you know, hopefully I'll be able to get a spell off and I could put them to sleep. And that would hopefully keep them asleep, you know, and long enough to have them change back. But will I get the spell off?
We'll be fine.
While they're coming back out, if I was searching for tracks outside, do I see anything now looking for paw print wolf?
Mm-hmm. I did mention that it had rained, I think, a night ago. Hence, you see, the remainder of what probably was prints going in and out. They're more clear at sort of the mouth of the cave that would have been shielded from the rain. Mm-hmm. But outside... You wouldn't be able to follow the trail for very long.
But I do see paw prints or like footprints.
You see both paw prints, too, like a bipedal paw print, long clawed feet, and human prints. And your own prints.
Huh. He looks at his own shoe.
The artist formerly known as Prince.
Huh.
Oh, wow.
He's a purple footprint.
Hey, guys, what's going on?
Purple. If you drink the purple rain out of a werewolf.
You're the purple rain.
Nice. There we go. So I'm going to grab...
Inches from a cap.
I'm going to grab any of the... I'm going to grab the clothes and toys that were buried and carry them out.
Maybe this is something from previous victims.
Right, and if this is something that's like keeping them alive or keeping them, you know, cursed or whatever... He doesn't know. He's just going to take him and burn him somewhere.
Okay.
Okay, so yeah, so I think that's a good plan. Take the kids to the Mushroom Grove, have them ask for a boon from Titania. But
this is the thing, too. Like, we have no means of defeating werewolves right now.
No.
None of the traditional means. Drinking rain out of their footprints or whatever.
It's not going to work.
We don't have any silver. We don't have any...
No, I don't. Do not want to be here when the adult gets back. And even if they transform, our only choice... really is to have them restrained or for me to put them
I think Pharaoh's like freaking out right now. He's like thinking about us. It's like, what are we supposed to do?
Saint, do you have a way to hide our tracks? When this woman comes back and finds these kids missing, she's going to be enraged and try to find us. If our tracks lead right to us, then we haven't done any good at all. She'll take the kids right back from us.
Yeah.
Killing us.
Yeah, I can make that work.
And you have a ranger background.
Yeah.
I do.
I think he takes some of the bones from the cave and some like sticks and stuff and ties it together with some of his rope and then ties it to his like around his waist. So when we walk, it scrapes against the ground and he like purposefully makes almost like a broom kind of behind us to mess up the tracks. So he's building that outside and he's looking at these like clawed prints by the cave opening. And he points it out quietly, not to scare the children, but like points it out to the three of you. And is kind of like, I mean, we talked to fairies. Who's to say?
We should tell the kids our names and then give them a little bit of like, just so they're not terrified of us. And explain the plan as like, we think... What's a non-terrifying way to tell them that they might be sick? Like that, just we want to make sure that the beast.
We're gonna cure the cut.
We're gonna cure the cut. Yeah, we'll take them to the sea.
Make up a name. Make up a name. He's whispering. He's like, don't tell me your real name.
Who are you?
I'm Steve.
Crushed bottle cap.
That's my father's name.
My father's name.
Steve.
They're brothers.
Wait, what's your last name?
Stevens.
Steve Stevens. Wow.
This is...
Was he a defenseman for the Devils?
This is my friend.
Roy.
Roy. Roy.
Roy. Batty.
Roy Batty.
Roy Batty.
Okay. Do you have names as well?
Larry.
Larry. That's it.
Larenson.
Larry Green, you fucking asshole.
Larry Green, that fucking asshole.
And you look like a monster.
Oh.
You do.
You do, I mean.
Well, I assure you I'm not. I'm going to do my best to help you.
Stop yelling.
I'm not yelling. Very reasonable tone. I mean, name is... Drake. Horman.
Drake Horman?
Good name. Are you a TV doctor? Drake Horman.
I didn't pronounce it like that. I didn't say Horman.
Horman.
Very niche superhero.
Horman.
It's a family name.
A very niche superhero.
My last name is based on my father's occupation. He was a bit of a woman.
Come with us. And stay low and stay quiet. There are many dangers in the forest.
You bringing us back to our parents at the wood?
Eventually, but we can't take you while you have these wounds.
Oh.
It could...
itches.
Yes. Don't scratch at it. Just leave it be.
It's just when you say don't scratch, it makes me want to scratch
more. I'm going to give them a ration.
Oh, and can I think of is there, in my knowledge of herbalism, is there something I can give them that maybe could, A, first of all, stop the itching, and B, maybe even delay or mitigate the onset of their lycanthropy?
Give me a wisdom check.
Had to be wisdom, huh?
How wise are you about the...
No. Isn't he the wise one?
Yes, I thought it was going to be intelligent.
Oh.
Yeah. I don't have the herbalism, though.
Yeah, this area is... devoid of the herbs you would need.
All right.
Oui. Speaking of, maybe when you're thinking about like looking for herbs, Saint says, She'll probably bring something when we go to the Fae again.
Gifts.
Oh, yeah.
They liked what you brought, right?
They seem to tolerate it.
Well, they'd probably be thrilled with the gift of two children.
Right, but we want the children to leave and go home.
Well, we don't necessarily. We just want this to be over.
I think Ellison, like, he's the morality of this, like, the ethical quandary is really wearing on Ellison, because if we can't cure this, we can't bring them home. It would be it would destroy that community.
Yeah, this is like.
But what are we going to do with these?
I mean,
kids?
We're at risk. We could be putting their communities at risk. And this is why it's like Pharaoh is just like, let's bring them into the fairies world and let them fight it out. Like,
if you're so afraid of the fairies, I'm sure the fairies could take care of it if they're going to threaten the fairies. Right?
We want to save the children more.
Yes, but if it doesn't work, is what I'm saying. And it's Drake.
Right.
Right.
Drake.
Horman.
That's Mr. Horman to you.
Dr. Horman.
Let's go.
Mr. Drake Horman, MD.
We go to the next hex.
To the...
Dr. Drake Horman, MD.
To the north.
To the north.
Yeah.
To the north. Right. We want to get there early.
With Marin and Barnaby in tow, you reach the next hex by nightfall.
Shug-gung-gung.
And I would like, can we make, I guess let's make another garland if we can't think of anything else.
Yeah.
So can I make a nice garland?
I want to gather.
I'll forage
with you.
While the
wine might have been better, but if you want to just grab some flowers and make a garland.
What would have been better?
A ball of wine.
Yes, it would have been better. That would be better.
Sure, I'm actually with flowers. I guess that's not bad. If I was hosting, I'd bottle of wine.
If it's wisdom, it's an 18.
Okay, yeah, you can make a decent little
bouquet
garland.
Garland or.
Okay, the rest of you are just like that's from the group.
Oh no, I'm gonna
sign
look.
My name on that card.
I'm going to look down, and I think that he's going to find. Along the way, a rough, I'm like, oh, it's a sign. A rough moonstone he's going to find.
Oh.
And he'll be like, I could bring this. It's like a celebration of the ritual to the moon.
Mm.
And, you know, it's not polished and like cut and everything like that to look great. But it is a moonstone nonetheless. And you can kind of see this reflective light coming through it in an interesting way.
Okay.
Who's holding the pearls?
I am.
You are. Okay.
We need those.
Yeah.
Do.
Do you keep your light spell cooking? Because once you get back outside, it's lit up.
Oh, yeah. I guess you could. You want to turn it off?
I'll let it run its course.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let it run its course. All right. So as the sun sets, you delve further north, and eventually you come to this clearing with. There are these fat, dewy mushrooms sprouting up from the ground. Little bits of the last sun from the day coming in through the trees, casting a nice little glow over this area. And these mushrooms are forming a ring the size of a small house. Nothing inside.
Huh.
What is this place? My parents here?
They're coming. They're coming. Help is coming. We just have to wait here until the sun goes down. But you're safe now. That creature can't follow you here.
We have to help. We'll fix your cut.
I don't feel good.
Okay,
how do you feel?
Strain them.
Yeah. And I'm... Listen. I'll get down on their level.
And they're just looking at you like sunken eyes.
We're going to... the cut might make you sick. And Elson's father, so he's going to try to like talk. He's like, he has daughter, a little bit younger than Marin. It's like, to protect you and help keep you safe, we're going to tie a rope around your arms, and then I'm going to put you to sleep. And then we're going to ask a magical lady that's going to come to this grove to fix you. And he's going to try to sell it and market it. And like, it's like, she's a legendary, beautiful creature, and she should be able to help you. And once we're done with that, we can take you to your parents. Is that okay?
Is this a real story?
Yes.
Or is this a tale?
No, it's a real story. This is a magical land we're in right now. And he points to the mushrooms like, this is a special place.
Why do you have to tie us up?
She says as you're wrapping cords of rope around her.
Yeah, Saint has the rope.
It's going to help you. And we don't want you to get hurt, and we don't want anyone else to get hurt. And it, like I said, this cut can make you sick.
Why are you gagging me?
I'm not gonna gag.
I take the rope. Ball I take the rope back out. I take the rope back out.
I'm gonna say okay.
Now we were.
Why are you burying me alive?
I'm gonna say
your parents will be here in a minute. Dirt on the face.
This is for your own good.
On the face.
Now, I'm gonna say a few words, and I'm going to make you go to sleep for a little while, so you have a good night's rest, and hopefully, when you wake up, your arm will be cured, and we'll start the walk back to your parents.
All right, but my brother's third level.
I don't think.
Well, then we might have to murder him.
Magic won't work on.
Can't be true. He's eight. He's 8 years old.
All right.
He's third level in his mind.
And once they're tied up, I'm going to cast sleep on them.
You're going to use a casting of it?
Attempt to cast.
You want to risk losing it?
I mean,
I have some caps.
I think Saint does put rope in their mouths, or like a strip of leather or something, like in their mouths, and ties it just to be sure.
I don't think that's really going to matter. If they become werewolves, they can just bite through the strap.
You don't know that.
Why are you covering us in cinnamon?
It's part of it. All right, and
why are you rolling us in salt?
I'm really like, why are you tying us to a spit?
Why are you putting an onion in my mouth?
I don't want an apple right now.
All right, and I gesture for the others to stand back, and I will attempt to cast sleep.
Okay.
I'm going to turn into a cap.
Wow. Whoa. Dude, if you lose it on this.
Come on.
Only use so many caps.
I make it by one.
Oh,
yeah.
Maddie caps.
And natural nine becomes a 12. So,
the kids just
fall asleep.
They fall asleep, tied up. And you stand. Where do you stand? Do you go into this little circle? Do you stand outside?
Maybe we stand right outside.
And
until
wait.
We're invited.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess we were invited.
We were invited already. And I don't see them anywhere.
But when
you see them
before a party starts, you don't go into the person's house.
Exactly.
Also, same.
I was invited.
Yeah, you invited me yesterday. That's why I'm waiting in your living room for you to come home from work.
Stand just outside.
And Saint is looking at the sky. Is it cloudy? Is the moon out?
It's there's some clouds in the sky, but you do see a cloud pass by. The glowing orb that is the moon. And you step within this ring of mushrooms, looking down at the children sleeping, hands tied, covered in salt. And
salted children.
You start to feel this, I don't want to say nausea, because it's not a bad feeling. But there's this lightheadedness that you feel, like some sort of lightness wash over you. It's like a wave. Whoever's standing on the right, like it hits you first before the others hit you, before it hits the others. And suddenly the world around you melts away. And a new world emerges.
Oh, shit.
And we'll be back right after.
Oh, shit.
Oh,
holy shit.
Snap.
The Big Tasty is back at McDonald's, but now it's a double. It's the beefiest Big Tasty of all time ever. Oh, got a bit intense there. The new Double Big Tasty, now at McDonald's. Available until the 4th of Jan 2026 from 11 a.m. Price and participation may vary, subject to availability.
Goodbye, Kyle.
Did the sound of those words call to you like Pavlov's dog? Then you might enjoy our podcast, Turtle Time.
Every week, you can join me, Riley Hamilton, and my co-host, Amy Scarlatta, as we cover the most pressing Bravo news and dig into the new episodes to answer important questions like, who the hell is Adrian Maloof in this world?
Listen to Turtle Time on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. New episodes every Wednesday and Friday.
I've got a homicide in Springfield's North Woods by mile marker 16.
You are now entering Springfield. Where's the body?
Off the side of the ditch down there. You know, surrounded by all this crime scene tape.
Hello? Am I dead?
My name is John. I'm the new forensic pathologist. I can see you, and that's how we'll figure out how you were murdered.
That means ghosts are real!
Since then, I've noted multiple additional missing case files and even missing bodies.
Let's say I believe you came across some record-keeping discrepancies and a string of deaths. You're not an investigator, Jonathan. Stop trying to be one.
After everything I've discovered, I just need to know why. What happened in Springfield?
Going somewhere, Dr. Spacer.
Listen to How I Died, a full cast police and medical procedural podcast with over 40 episodes already available. Then, tune in to season 4 of How I Died, releasing now on all podcast apps.
We're back. Give me some world-changing music.
No.
Oh, there we go. This is mind-altering.
That music changed the world for a lot of people.
I said that the world that you see around you as you're standing inside this, you know, rather nondescript circle of mushrooms melts away. And what you see instead is this lush, canopied forests with mushrooms now as large as two-story buildings.
Oh, shit. Whoa. We got shrunk. It's like the Ratatouille ride in Disney World.
Every color of the rainbow is represented in the space you see around you. The trees surrounding or in between the mushrooms are so thick you can't see where they begin or end. It seems like there's just this giant tree around you. For a second, you do feel as if you've been shrunk because everything just seems larger and you feel smaller. But there's something more mystical going on because there are pools of bubbling water, garlands of flowers that just seem to float in the air, hanging from unseen branches. And hundreds upon hundreds of tiny and average-sized and large creatures, the likes of which you've never seen, frolicking about in this little miniature wonderland. There are tiny gossamer-winged pixies and sprites flitting about, shy and mischievous-looking dryads and nymphs, satyrs and redcaps, sharing a pot of tea, gentle selkies swimming in the hot springs, and all manner of lights just sort of bouncing around that you know are sentient and not just decorative. And food and drink as far as the eye can see. What you do not see are the children. They are gone. And you look down and you see that your clothing is different. Your clothing is like Renaissance-esque. Yeah, you have doublets and hoses, jerkins and trousers. Your weapons are gone. Your packs, anything you came with, you have been transformed as well to fit this party.
I told you. It's Ellison, summer night dream bullshit.
Ellison will warn, like, maybe we'll say before we go in, and I'll warn, like, do not eat or drink.
Yeah.
At the party, no matter how tempting.
What is happening?
So I'm looking at my clothes.
Where's my sword? Where's my shield?
We've entered into the The world of the Fae. I mean, this must be overwhelming, right? Like, I think we've encountered some magical beings before during the war,
yeah,
in our
of
travels,
course.
But to see all manner of the whole monster manual in the
this is wild.
To step into a completely different reality, this is a first, I'm sure, for all of us.
But and also we've entered their world. Their what reality is different here. Your sword, it likely still exists on the other side, but
swords are no more use here.
They won't be useful anyway. Exactly.
The children are gone as well.
Good, they've accepted our offering. That's a good sign.
Let's hope they're just outside the circle still. Let's come. We must.
About my moonstone.
Wait, are my flowers? Do I sell my offering?
You have your flowers.
The gifts.
You have your moonstone.
Strange. It's like the only thing that came through.
They knew. Yeah, if you search your body or whatever, those things came through, but nothing else.
All right, let's slowly make our way into the throng.
I'm going to look for the fairies we saw before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's good
idea. Yeah. I mean, you
come to the party, you look for the person.
The one person.
Right, exactly. Invited us.
We're on a list.
Yeah.
We know someone here.
They invited us. What were their names?
Got their names.
Oh, sure. You knew a couple of fairies?
No, we're on the list.
Bouncer!
So you mosey your way in, and this, like, swinish-looking humanoid ambles forward. And he's got, like, his skin, it looks like purplish tree bark. And he's like, well met by moonlight, proud travelers. Be not afraid of the changes that you see. This is a magical place and an honor for mortals such as yourselves to be allowed in as guests. Worry not, I can see on your faces that you are discomforted by these alterations.
We are honored and humbled to be invited. Please do not mistake our surprise and our hesitation for disrespect. We are merely mortals, and this is our first encounter with your realm.
We are duly terrified at the stories of your might, and if anything, it shows more respect.
He laughs. And he's
God, it's winking.
You need not worry about such things. I'm sure those stories have been exaggerated. And know this, that the world you came from before you entered our humble grove will be there when all is said and done. Though, after tonight, you may not wish to return.
May I ask a question?
Of course, yes.
I am curious. Does time pass differently inside here than it does on the outside?
Yes and no. You may lose both your sense of time and your desire to understand it. But if you're worried you will come back and 100 years will have passed, nothing like that will occur. But here we do not worry about the passage of time. We worry about now.
We had two people with us.
Ah, the children. Yes, yes, the children are safe. Younglings are not allowed to take part in the festivities, but they have been spirited away, if you will, to a safe place where you will be able to retrieve them when the night is over.
It is partly for them that we are here. They have been, we fear, infected.
Cursed.
Ah.
By a werebeast of some kind, and we seek a cure for them, a boon on their behalf.
Ah.
If we may be so bold.
I see. Well, the goddess will be here soon. Perhaps you will have the opportunity to ask her for such a gift yourself. Until then, please eat, drink, be merry, and enjoy the world that could be.
Yes. Oh, Jimmy.
Didn't get his name.
We're before you. Please, sir.
I've already engaged in another conversation.
Okay. Sorry. Yes, of course.
We know another guy's name, Jimmy, but we didn't get his name.
Yeah, we got Jimmy's name.
How do you know all this? How do you know how to conduct yourself in this place.
Must be.
You've read of this? These rituals?
I've read of these places. You must be utterly deferential. The Fae are welcoming, but their mood can change.
Capricious.
Capricious.
He says to sit and eat, and you said not to eat or drink.
I wouldn't eat anything.
There's like a long caterpillar guy, Alice in Wonderland style, just smoking.
See? Let us...
We all wave honestly, slowly.
I think, and we must be conscious. We are not of this world, and we will want to leave. It will be seductive.
Well, I don't know about any of you, but I'm tired, and I would love a drink. And Saint reaches out to one of like the goblets that's on a table and sniffs it.
It's light as air. And it has this sweet, nectary scent to it, kind of like honey and lavender.
Don't do it! Don't even smell it! You're full or something. Don't drink it. It's bad things will happen.
Tables are overflowing with food and drink. Like so much delicious looking food, and it's not like food that's strange to you. There's some of that, but the stuff that lies before you, it's almost like what you think you want.
Mm.
Yeah. It's right there.
Remember, in the world of the Fae, all is not what it seems, and everything comes with strings attached.
I heard the fairy tales too, but we're here. We might as well enjoy ourselves.
We're here, but we want to leave. I don't know about you. Maybe you want to stay here forever, but I don't.
I don't. I have a home to get back to.
No, I don't want to stay here. I do want to try this.
Well, I want the boons. I want the blessing of the forest. I want to be protected against any further evils.
Feel this, like, warmth go down your esophagus into your chest. You can feel, almost trace the liquid as it goes through your body. You feel it just sort of rest right in your stomach and expand outward, giving you this warm, glowing feeling. You look at him, and there is a bit of a glow to him that wasn't there earlier.
How do you feel?
Pretty good.
See? Nothing happened. Overreacting.
There's this fat little, like, gremlin-like creature, but it's not gross like, you know, the Gremlins movie. It's just this, like, got multicolored hair, and it's shoving like cream into its face. It's like, oh, mortals, always wary of our gifts. Well, there are many tricksters here, but please eat. You'd be missing out if you didn't.
And Saint just grabs the glass.
Ellison is just not gonna touch it.
Just watching.
Slams it back down. Oh, haven't had wine that sweet in years.
Do you think that they won't give us any kind of help? Any kind of boon? If we don't eat or drink?
That's what I'm thinking. Just smile, enjoy it, and then we'll leave.
How long does it last?
The party?
Yeah, I feel like he's got like having like a bad trip. Like,
how long do I have to stay here, not eat and drink, and not see the kids, and not know if we're getting a boon?
That sounds like my reaction to any party. How long do I have to stay here? How long does it last?
I love as soon as you get to
a boon. I want to go home. I want to see my kid.
I see the kid again.
I like as soon as you get to a he's party, gonna... you look at who's there, and then you immediately think, "Whoa, when can I leave?"
I'd like to talk to that gremlin. Didn't unless he walked away.
No, he's there. He's just stuffing his face.
Yeah.
Like eating. He should have been full long ago. Well,
when do you expect the goddess will turn up here?
Oh, very soon, yes. There'll be a play. We must entertain our queen.
The queen? The goddess?
Of course, yes. She loves theater and spectacle.
You're gonna sit through a play?
So delicious.
I suspect we might be in the play.
What? What do you mean in the play?
Wait and see.
No, no. I don't know any lines. That
might not be the issue. I also would like to explore, like, and walk around and maybe talk to people and learn things. Like, he is curious.
Mm.
would like to kind of glean anything he can about kind of rules of this world and what is expected of us as mortals in this place.
Okay. You all mingle or do you
we mingle.
Stick together?
No, let's stick together and mingle. Stick together.
I also want to see, is there a single other mortal here?
That's a good question.
At first glance, you don't see them. Everything looks crazy.
I'm not going to go talking to people on my own. I'm just going to, almost like a bodyguard. I'm just going to just stay behind Pharaoh or Ellison, depending. Maybe Pharaoh. I'll stick with Pharaoh.
Just whisper in our ear.
Just sort of stay close behind, just making sure nobody's making any funny moves and just trying to be constantly wary of danger, somebody sneaking around, looking at us weirdly, anything like that.
Nearby, you see two very tall creatures, but their heads kind of look like almost like an amoeba under a microscope. But there's a mouth, like a stingray's mouth when you flip a stingray upside down, kind of like this, and two eyes at the end, and they're just conversing with each other.
I don't know. I'm not going to tell it.
Hello. I talk to go. Hello. We'll be moving on. Come along, Warwick. Yes. Good evening.
Enjoy the feast.
Enjoy the feast.
Enjoy the feast.
Oh, those things are horrible.
Could you understand them?
No. Could you?
No.
Of course, I couldn't understand them.
Weirdly, they didn't speak Orcish.
Oh, boss.
Let me speak Orc here. Hey! Turnor!
Oh, jeez. Awesome. No, I don't think anybody's
there's no orcs here.
Let me try. You guys are making me nervous by how nervous you're looking, okay?
How do you feel? Any different?
I feel great, and your vibes are killing mine. Just sit tight. And he's going to walk up to whoever he sees.
All right, there's a small marsupial-looking creature that has a long, almost like scorpion-like tail, but it has fins instead of arms.
Oh, no.
And it's just... eating like a little cake.
Saint kind of walks up at an awkward party. A lot of food.
All right.
For the listening audience.
Better go to YouTube.
He nodded with a peculiar
vigor.
A strange smile. Vigor. A smile he's
with
never
a knowing smile.
Smiled to me.
Knowing toothless smile.
Saint will point to what it has in its hand. What is that?
Cake.
And does he see the cake there?
No, but when you look down, he reaches down into nothingness and just pulls out a second piece of cake and hands it to you.
For me.
Yes.
And he turns back to the group, holding a piece of cake.
Don't eat it.
Or your friend.
It from nothing.
Oh. Satan now has multiple cakes in his hand and he hands them out.
Thank you.
Oh, more cake.
Yes, and the cake just keeps piling up. And
very
it's in our arms.
Thank you.
Many thanks.
For the cake.
Cake.
And Satan is going to take a small, tiny nibble of the frosting on the top of the cake. What does it taste like?
Don't you eat it? The pry is so good. Frosting
so
part.
Good. I mean, it's obviously sugary sweet, but it's not cloyingly sweet. It's the perfect balance of spices and sugar and fat and butter. I mean, it's just unbelievable. The second it hits your lips, you can't help but want to eat more of it.
And his eyes, it's just he turns to the group. It's cake. It's real cake.
Yes.
I don't know when I've had cake. Have I ever had cake? Not like this, not cake. It's cake, it's sugar, it's milk.
It's not real, is it? It can't be. It's pulled it from nothing. You saw him pull it from nothing.
I can feel it in my mouth. I feel it on my tongue.
I don't like this.
I can feel the sugar on my teeth. I haven't had sugar in so long.
Poison!
It's not poison, Pharaoh.
I mean, it looks delicious, and I'll also have some.
Hey.
And he, yeah, and he starts, puts up his mouth, and he's like walking, and he pretends to trip and drops all the cake. It's like, oh, no.
Here, oh, I have some of mine.
Oh, hey, drop.
Throws it.
Yeah, I do the thing that I've heard the famous people do when like people buy shots for them. They're like, hey, and just throw it over their shoulder.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nom, nom, nom.
Could we mechanically kind of, I want to gather information. I don't know, you know, what we would call that. Just about Titania.
The woods.
Mostly I'm focused on like the goddess, how to please her, what is required of us for a boon, what's going to be required of us in this, if we're going to be involved in this play, mm-hmm. kind of like what to expect and ways we can kind of improve our chances of impressing her.
Okay. So let's say you see the most humanoid looking creatures that seem like they might be able to understand you. And as you're walking forward, they ask you to come forward. Their facial features are a little mixed up. They have a nose, mouth, but they have multiple eyes all where your eyes are, and they're completely bald, and they're just like sexless, naked, all skin. But they're the closest thing, and they're beckoning you.
Definitely the most inviting.
Yeah, we head over.
What is that?
You are new here.
We are honored by the invitation to join the feast.
Oh, it is a high honor for one of your kind to be invited to this moonlit celebration.
We were surprised.
Does the goddess come to every moonlit celebration?
Yes, every full moon they have this event, and she always comes. She has to.
She has to?
Oh, yes.
Why does she have to?
You will see. I don't want to spoil it for you. But no doubt, she will notice you.
Those who would seek a boon from the goddess.
A boon, he wants to know.
And are honored to receive one.
Yes.
What is it they must do?
Well, in order to receive, one must always give.
Oh, we have gifts. We brought
the gifts our goddess will need is not something you can hand her. You'll see.
You can't give us anything that would help us, please.
One piece goddess. Of useful information.
Oh,
we could mail it to her, if that.
Look into your souls this evening. This is a special place, this grove. You may never get to see its kind again. Take this as an opportunity to look into your past and your future. And if you can find those truths that perhaps you've been hiding, the goddess will grant you your boon.
Thank you. Oh, wait, what is this play we've been hearing about?
Well, let me tell you. And then all of a sudden,
there's an excitement growing in the air, these like French horns, and they wave you off, and they're like backing up, and everyone is sort of moving outward and forming this circle, this empty circle in the middle of the gathering. And they all look up and behind them as this like translucent blue hue starts to fill the air above the circle and above this crowd of gathering creatures, above the mushroom tops and the large trees. And it starts spinning and spinning and spinning until everything around you disappears, and all you can see is this blue hue that starts to coalesce into the titanic form of a woman, like resting her head on her arms and looking down at all of you. Her head is like 10 stories tall, and she just looks down. If you look behind her, you can kind of see like the nude form of an enormous body that just stretches into infinity. But instead, it's as if her arms are encircling the grove, and she's just lying and looking down at all of you. Beautiful, stunning, a beauty you have never seen. And everyone is just like, willow-wisps floating through the air. She smiles and she begins talking. But as she talks, her mouth moves and the words that come out don't match the speed and the shape of her mouth. And you wonder if it's some effect of being in this grove or if there is some sort of magic that is translating what she's saying so that you can understand it. Mm.
The universal translator.
She says, "My children, a new cycle begins. A play. A play for your queen." A spotlight hits the middle of the grove. A lone figure just walks into the center. Looks like a human man, except he's holding his head under the crook of his arm. He pulls it out and places it just above where a neck would be. And he says, "Act One, the Rite of Desire." Dun, 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 dun. He steps off stage. And immediately this troupe of fey actors take the stage and begin bringing to life what looks like a small village. They're wearing costumes, but the costumes aren't elaborate. They're very clearly meant to be costumes that mimic the kind of clothing people wear in your world. It's like their take on it. Two more actors take the stage on opposite sides of the circle. Looks like one is a noble boy and one is a peasant girl. And you watch this story unfold. Very few words, mainly just all pantomime. You watch them meet. You watch them shyly get to know each other. You watch them fall in love. As this act moves forward, other characters are introduced, like the father of the noble. And you see the father discover their love affair. And then you see the father chastising the son and disallowing this relationship. You see the noble boy continuing to sneak out to see this young peasant girl, his lover. And you see the peasant girl urging the boy to just let her go at the risk of them being discovered. And while the props and the costumes and even the scenery from time to time looks kind of fake by your standards and almost childish, the performance of these two lovers is hauntingly real. Even though they barely speak, there's something so believable about this experience that they're sharing for the audience. You see them shed real tears. And eventually, as the story continues, you see the noble father sending his guards out capture the peasant girl, blames her, like pins something on her that she stole something from their home. And the boy has to watch as they execute the peasant girl. Jesus. And while all of the stagecraft throughout has been very rudimentary, the execution scene, not unlike the performance of the lovers, is exquisitely real. The blade comes down on the peasant girl's neck, and you see the head separated from the body, and it looks so real. Blood splatters onto the ground. And then stagehands come and take the body away, take the village away, take the blade.
Doom, 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 doom. That wasn't real, was it?
I don't know.
It might have been.
That looked real.
The blood.
They were really good, though.
Really good.
Really good.
Do people applaud? Do the other silence. Your partygoers are fine?
Silence. Silence. But they're watching with bated breath. And the massive form of Titania just smiles, looking at everyone. The MC returns, holding his head once more. Ah, a cautionary tale of desire we can all learn from. And now, Act Two, The Rite of Power. Dun, 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 dun. He walks off stage. And within moments, two fey creatures step onto the arena. They appear to be men, and they're each attended to by a host of servants who are offering them a selection of weapons to choose from. You see men holding up a blade, admiring it, handing it back, grabbing another weapon, checking it out, handing it back until finally they decide upon what they want to use. And then they face each other and they bow first to the massive goddess watching over this and then to each other before they launch into a fight. And at first it seems like a choreographed stage fight. It's too perfect. It's like a perfect dance. One will parry, one will riposte. Every move seems like it's planned. Or is it? Because not unlike the first act, this dance, this ballet, eventually one of the creatures slips the guard of the other one and pierces his sword directly into the upper chest of the other creature. And that creature's weapon drops from his hands as he grasps the edge of the blade. And as he grasps the blade that's within his chest, you see blood starting to form around his hands where the blade is cutting into his hands. And he just looks at the man that killed him, looks up at the goddess, musters a smile, and then falls limp, slides off the edge of the blade to the ground. Several attendants come, just as they did in the first act, to gather the body and bring it off, gather the weapons, and the winner bows to the crowd, and the crowd now erupts and cheers. I picture all of you standing there amongst this as they're all cheering and hooting and hollering. The attendants return and begin ceremoniously removing the clothing of the man. The victor, piece by piece.
Oh no.
Until he stands completely nude in the center of the arena.
Wait, what is he? He looks like a man?
It's kind of like a fey man. So there are
David Bowie.
Otherworldly there are otherworldly qualities to him.
Okay.
But it's definitely a male, and now that he is nude, you know that for certain. And just stands there in silence. And the goddess. They all look to her. She closes her eyes and she buries her face in her hands, and her form falls away again until it's just this circling blue blur around the arena. And across from where you're standing, you see the crowd part, and there are like wooden steps that weren't there before. And the form of a woman, the same woman that was encircling the grove, starts walking down the stairs to this man. And as she walks, like flower petals come up from the ground around this man and form like this bed
and he lays back. And she mounts him, and they begin copulating for the entire audience, and everyone is just silently watching. Drum beats fill the air. The sounds and smells intensify. And then at the literal and figurative climax, the woman stands up, walks back up the stairs. The passageway closes. All of a sudden, the spinning blue returns the form of the woman, who is smiling with a slight hint of satisfaction. This is fucked.
I feel like we're all kind of like averting our eyes as that part is happening, but suddenly.
The other one. He killed the other one.
Making love in front of us. What? Very uncomfortable.
What is going on?
What was saying? You should have eaten that cake.
Well, I'm not hungry anymore. If that makes you feel better.
Any appetite I have is gone as well.
They're all watching. Everyone's just watching.
Shut up.
You shut up. Shut up.
It's a great honor.
Why is the play not over?
This guy sucks.
How long is this fuck? How many acts do plays have?
How many acts do Fae plays have?
How many acts do plays have?
It's our fucking intermission.
Ellison, how many acts do plays
I don't
have?
I know. I think I've been to many Fae plays. I need to pee.
Shut up.
The MC comes out once more, holding his head in his hands.
Oh, God.
He scares me. Holds it up over his body and says, "And now we come to our final act."
Three.
Okay.
All right.
Who's made it? Our final act in honor of our goddess. The rite of truth. Dum, 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 dum. Four spotlights shine on the four of you.
Oh, shit.
And we'll see you next
time. I don't want to be in this movie! I don't want to have sex with her!
I really, really don't care for audience participation.
I know.
Not my thing.
Yeah. I'm Lion King, but way worse. Stop getting cute. Just let us watch the show.
God.
Like an improv show.
No. Sydney's in her element.
Yeah. Any suggestion from the audience? Yes, and there's now.
Let me leave, please.
Kill me.
I've got a homicide in Springfield's North Woods by mile marker 16.
You are now entering Springfield. Where's the body?
Off the side of the ditch down there. You know, surrounded by all this crime scene tape.
Hello? Am I dead?
My name is John. I'm the new forensic pathologist. I can see you, and that's how we'll figure out how you were murdered.
That means ghosts are real!
Since then, I've noted multiple additional missing case files and even missing bodies.
Let's say I believe you came across some record-keeping discrepancies and a string of deaths. You're not an investigator, Jonathan. Stop trying to be one.
After everything I've discovered, I just need to know why. What happened in Springfield?
Going somewhere, Dr. Spacer.
Listen to How I Died, a full cast police and medical procedural podcast with over 40 episodes already available. Then, tune in to season 4 of How I Died, releasing now on all podcast apps.
The Regency era. You might know it as the time when Bridgerton takes place, or the time when Jane Austen wrote her books. But the Regency era was also an explosive time of social change, sex scandals, and maybe the worst king in British history. And on the Vulgar History Podcast, we're going to be looking at the balls, the gowns, and all the scandal of the Regency era. Vulgar History is a women's history podcast, and our Regency era series will be focusing on the most rebellious women of this time. That includes Jane Austen herself, who is maybe more radical than you might have thought. We'll also be talking about queer icons like Anne Lister, scientists like Mary Anning and Ada Lovelace, as well as other scandalous actresses, royal mistresses, rebellious princesses, and other lesser-known figures who made history happen in England in the Regency era. Listen to Vulgar History wherever you get podcasts.